You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour One Podcast.
This might be college football heaven.
Hey, good afternoon. Welcome in. We are really happy to have you with us. A Wednesday. We are in the middle of the week, 1 week after Nick Saban announced he was stepping down. It's just a little under a week and short of 2 hours that he made the announcement to his team. And a lot has happened since then. A new coach, and today, some defections. Caleb Downs, the biggest one on the team that everybody was concerned about, arguably one of the finest defensive players in the country as a freshman, is gone in the portal. Where will he end up? Is there any chance of preserving it? This is the list already. These are some of the top players who took snaps on the semifinal team. Roydell Williams, Bond, Benson, DeCorey Brooks. Look at those wide receivers. Tight end, offensive lineman. McLaughlin's already been gone. Caden Proctor went in the portal today. The top offensive lineman last year in the recruiting class. Caleb Downs is the big one, but he's not the only one. Let's talk about Auburn for just a second. Hugh Freeze trying to put an end to some of the negativity in the media. About to hire Derek Nix, a highly thought of offensive coach coming over from Ole Miss. And Bama's hired another head coach from the Group of Five, Maurice Linguist. He will be the co-coordinator with Kane Womack. So a lot happening there. Greg Byrne will join us in about 25 minutes, and we'll get inside the coaching search. How did and when did Greg Byrne begin the search for Kalen DeBoer? And it's been a week and 3 days since Jim Harbaugh won the national championship. He's now interviewed with two teams, San Diego and Atlanta. Which job is better? Greg Byrne joins us, and Antonio Langham in the College Football Hall of Fame, one of the best-known Alabama players, played on the national championship team in 92, and J.D. Pickell on the landscape of college football. A lot happening, and we appreciate all of you being here on a manic Wednesday. If there has ever been one, your phone calls are welcome at 855-242-7285. Let's start with Bubba, who is in North Carolina. Hello, Bubba.
What's shaking, Paul? How you doing today, buddy?
We are doing pretty well, thank you.
Hey, I just want to make a couple comments about Caleb Downs and a little bit about the Tennessee situation. But honestly, I think Caleb Downs may be the thread that gets pulled that unravels the whole jacket right here. Honestly, I think they could afford to lose Jalen Milroe before they could this kid right here. He's not your average ball player. He's literally what was going to build their defense next year around. And more players are going in the portal. And the juggernaut that Nick Saban built, I'm afraid, is crashing to earth. And I'm not saying that Alabama's not going to win any more football games. That's ludicrous. But they're not going to be the dominant factor that they've used to be in the last 15, 16 years.
And, well, I agree with a lot of what you said. I think Caleb Downs, I mean, Kevin Steele said before the season that Caleb Downs, who had not played a down as a freshman, was the best defensive player he had on the defensive side of the ball. That's a crushing loss. Now, you know, Cade Proctor is also a tough loss because he was developing – And, you know, he had to play as he had to start his first game as a freshman, and that's too early to play left tackle, but he was developing into a really good player.
Let me ask you this, Paul. Do you think Kevin Steele knew that Nick was definitely retiring when he retired? You think he knew Nick wouldn't be there next year?
I think Kevin knew that there was a likelihood that he wouldn't be, yes. If there was anybody on that I think it's Kevin Steele.
I think he may have knew that there was a very large, strong likelihood that that was the end of it. But
I'm willing to bet you that you are 100% correct on that.
Yeah, I want to make a little comment about Josh Heupel. He's catching a lot of flack about missing linemen in the transfer portal right now and some of his recruiting. Josh Heupel re-recruited his O-line and D-line from last year. That was his major win in recruiting this year. He re-recruited his existing players. And a lot of people are saying, well, we think Nico can take us somewhere by 25. I think 24 is going to be the year because he's going to have an experienced line on both sides of the football. Brew McCoy's coming back. They've added some good pieces in the receiving core. They've got a solid backfield. I think Tennessee's going to flex a little muscle this year.
I think you're. By the way, Bubba, I think you're 100% correct.
I think they're fully capable of putting together 10 wins in the regular season and getting in the playoff.
Well, what you just said is all about. It's not about being perfect. It's about getting in the playoff. Thank you for the call. Well done and well said. Cricket is in Mobile, Alabama. Hello, Cricket.
How are we doing today, man?
We're doing great. Thank you.
Hey, look, now I've been a ball Santa for the last 25 years. Look, I love watching my Tide every fall. But now with Nick Saban leaving, we got all these damn players going to the transfer portal. And, you know, I mean, are we going to be the new Arkansas? And, I mean, hell, I'm even scared to play Mizzou next year. I never thought I'd say that.
Yeah, my advice would be for everybody to calm down, and I know that's impossible to do at this moment because for about an hour today, we were sitting around the office just watching this in real time, and it felt like the whole thing was tumbling over. But don't forget, you lose players, you can gain players. The portal is open both ways. And I'm really interested to hear what Greg Byrne has to say here in about 25 minutes because he's at the epicenter. I mean, I'm not trying to sugarcoat anything. I see the panic. I can read the tea leaves, but I wouldn't write this program off. Yeah, Alabama has survived bad days, although today certainly would rank among the more tumultuous in a long time. Sandra is in Austin. You're on the air. Hello, Sandra.
Hi. I just wanted to talk about my buddy Dustin from the end of the show yesterday. I have a little bit of sarcasm with a bit of snark.
Go ahead.
I didn't understand exactly why he was giving me such a hard time, and I record the show every day just in case I don't get home in time or whatever. And I went back, and I don't recall ever questioning Iman's integrity or salvation. I just simply said he needed to get a new subject now that Nick Saban is gone. Here's where my snark comes in. Last time I checked, we live in the 21st century, Dustin, and to assume that I am a T-SIP just because I live in Austin, you know, there's these things called planes and trains and cars, and people don't live within 5 miles of where they went to school anymore. I am actually a South Carolina graduate. My husband is a South Carolina graduate. Three of my four children are Aggie grads. And so I think you may want to get your little facts there straight, buddy, because for you to come off like that and you have no idea and you call me that, that's ridiculous. I did nothing to provoke you. I said nothing bad about Iman. Just get a new subject. So anyway, that was on my
Thank you very much, Sandra. Good to hear from you. John is up next in Louisville.
And another feud is born.
I mean, hey, who had Dustin and Sandra as your big feud of the day?
Well, who knew Dustin was talking to Iron Man? You can't make this stuff up. Hey, Paul, I'm buying stock in Alabama. Just remember in the CFP, if you use the talent star composite, number 25, Washington beat number 6, Texas. Number 15, Michigan beat number 1, Alabama. I think it's all about the coaches. I think he's going to do very, very well. So I'm really positive on Alabama. Hey, you opened the show with a bang yesterday. Griff didn't disappoint. He took the cheap shots as usual against Saban and DeBoer. He made the outrageous statements he always does, like they should have considered Dabo Swinney and Michael Oxley. And then he made the exaggeration statement. T-Rob was the best hire since Kirby Smart. But what I was disappointed in is you didn't get down on him about the dynasty, the three-peat, and whether he was sandblasting Kirby's face off the Mount Rushmore greatest coaches. On the other hand, I thought it was an excellent interview with Brat, and I think he can drive through Alabama again. But, Paul, I was going to ask you about two hires. The first one that really, really almost shocked me was Ross Briarek going to OSU, given what he did with the Jimbo Fisher extension, and also just the way he ran things over at Texas A&M. And the other one that I'd like you to opine on is the hiring of Mo Lindquist, who, by the way, is a great recruiter. It seems like the rich are getting richer. They're taking a head coach and doubling his salary and making him a position coach and an honorary co-defensive coach. What's your thoughts on those two hires?
Yeah, John, the Bjork hire, remember, he was at Ole Miss, too, during the Hugh Freeze debacle. Pat Forty did a column today on Sports Illustrated excoriating the hire. I don't know what Ohio State really wanted. I mean, I like Ross Bjork a great deal, and I think he has the credentials to be an AD anywhere in the country. If you can be the AD at Texas A&M, you can be the AD at Ohio State. We take a break. More to come. We have a big show. Greg Burns, about 20 minutes away.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Paul. That's hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Greg Byrne coming up here in a minute, really eager to talk to Alabama's athletic director about the coaching search and everything else. Jim is up next. Hello, Jim.
Paul, you ever heard from a Bubba from Tennessee that wasn't a PhD Rhodes Scholar. He sounds like a Rhodes Scholar. He's got such excellent speech, you know. I love it, man. He'll pull it from Tennessee, going to tell Alabama what's going on. Yeah. You know what, Paul? Here's the deal. Here is the deal. We got along without you before we met you. Caleb and Bond and the rest of them, and we'll get along without you now. That's no problem. Alabama don't need no loser wannabes that don't know what they're doing. I don't think he knows what he's doing. He's a good player, but he's not very smart, in my opinion. I tell you something else. Hey, Jim,
hold on a second. You're attacking a player for what reason? Because he wants to go somewhere else?
No, I'm not exactly attacking him. I'm just making
a point. He's a loser.
I might have got a little more. I meant this, Paul. Got along before we met you. Going to get along without you now. That's the bottom line. That's what I'm saying. That ain't attacking him. That's telling it like it is. You want to argue with that?
I mean, listen, I understand what you're saying, but you're talking about, and this isn't, I mean.
Let me ask you something, Paul. Yeah, this is what gets me with you. Why don't you ever take issue with people like Griffith yesterday? Other people asked me last night, why didn't Paul come back on him? I said, because Paul wants him. He wants him on the air. He doesn't want to make him mad. He don't mind making me mad because he don't care if I'm on the air. That's the bottom line. That's what makes people mad about your inconsistency.
Well, no,
Paul.
I mean, listen. When we invite a guest on the show and I ask him questions, it's his prerogative to say whatever he wants. Now, I did push back a couple of times just to clarify because I felt like Mike was going all over the place. But I'm this is not the. The New Hampshire debate. I mean, I'm not debating somebody. I'm just simply giving him questions so maybe the audience will learn something.
I still don't understand this thing with me about always coming back at me like you're doing now, but you never take issue with I-Man. You never take issue with
Well, Jim, the reason I did that is you called a player a loser and said he wasn't intelligent, and that offended me.
I didn't exactly say it wasn't intelligent.
That's what you said, if you want to go back and play the tape.
I do not think he's very smart for leaving Alabama.
You may not think that. I think Caleb Downs is one of the most important players in the entire country.
Your opinion, and I've got my opinion.
Okay.
Can we go with that?
We can.
Well, then why don't you leave it alone? Like you do with the rest of these people. You don't take issue with them, but you always do with me. Well, let me finish my point. I think John made a great call. John's a smarter guy than ever. That I knew he was or thought he was, and he made excellent, outstanding points about what's going on with number 15 Washington. I mean, number 15 Michigan beating Alabama, and also Washington beating Texas.
John was completely wrong. Michigan was number one in the country when they beat Alabama. They weren't number 15.
He's talking about the start of the year.
Oh, well, yeah, they were number three at the beginning of the year, I believe.
Well, anyway, that's the point he made.
Well, yeah, but his point was wrong because his facts were wrong.
Well, I tell you what, Paul. I guess I don't have anything.
Well, no,
to say
Jim.
Anymore,
I'm just trying to. One thing we try to do here, we don't care what your opinion is, but we do care what the facts are.
Well, you see,
is that fair?
You're a factual guy, Paul. You really.
Well,
are.
I believe I'm gonna. If you give me 1 second, I'm gonna tell you exactly where Michigan was ranked before the season, because I mean, Jim thinks I'm persecuting him, but Michigan was in the top four before the season, I think, weren't they? Yeah, I'm going through the list. I want to make sure we're accurate here. And that I don't think they were number 15 when the season began, do you?
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day. But sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Okay, they were. John said they were number 15 in the preseason poll. They were number 2 in the preseason poll. That's why we tried to stipulate that. And I mean, I don't mind somebody getting mad at me for having the wrong opinion. I do feel like we ought to try to keep facts in the middle of the highway here on this program. So this is the preseason poll. Georgia 1, Michigan 2, Ohio State, Alabama, LSU number 5, and then you can see the rest of it, not that it really matters anymore. Let's grab one more call here before we talk to Greg Byrne. And Bash is up next in Boulder.
Bash, Paul, how you doing today?
We're doing great, Bash. Thank you.
Man, that was quite a call from Jim in Tuscaloosa before mine. I think, Paul, the main thing that he has a problem with you is that you let him talk a lot, like, on, and then whenever you cut him off, he always has a problem with it. He goes, you always cut me off, Paul. You never give I-Man. You never give Griffith, like, any of these problems. Like, Jim, you're the longest talker on the show, but that's another story. I want to give a good shout-out to the best caller that I heard yesterday, which was Rusty. I thought it was hilarious when he said, my wife's an Auburn fan, and she don't even like I-Man. And I agree with Sandra. Dustin is a disgusting man. He needs to learn some Southern manners if he wants to tell a woman to take a seat. My opinion is because no pretty woman has ever sat next to his ugly ass. So that pretty much summarizes it there. Now, Paul, I wanted to address the interview you had with Griffith yesterday. Do you remember a couple months ago when he said that Dan Lanning is the second best college football coach?
Yeah, I do remember that.
Let me ask you a couple questions, Paul. Is Dan Lanning better than Kalen DeBoer?
Oh, well, he's lost to him a couple of times.
So if he lost to him, that makes him inferior to him, does it not?
In theory, yes.
In theory, yes. Would you say he is better than Jim Harbaugh? Did Dan Lanning have a better season than Jim Harbaugh?
No.
Did he have a better season than Kirby Smart?
No.
Did he have a better season than Mike Norvell?
No.
Nick Saban?
I get your point, Bash. We're up against a break, and we have a guest waiting. We will take a short timeout here. The athletic director at the University of Alabama, scheduled to be next.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Welcome you back. We are here on a Wednesday, just under exactly a week ago, when Coach Saban stunned nearly everyone with his announcement of his retirement. Greg Byrne has been at the vanguard of this entire story. He's the director of athletics at the University of Alabama, considered among the preeminent ADs in America. Greg, thank you very much. I appreciate you coming on to talk about what everyone is so interested in. I can only imagine what your life has been like.
Hey, Paul, good to see you. Yeah, it's been an interesting week, a week ago today, actually. And Coach Saban walked into a team meeting at about 4 p.m. and let everybody know that he was calling it a career as the head football coach at the University of Alabama. And it was certainly a moment that none of us wanted to have come to fruition. But at the same time, too, we knew it would at some point, and he deserved that right. But just a remarkable man. He and Miss Terry both with what she did to support him, to support our program as well. And we'll forever be grateful for both of them.
Greg, you are the son of an athletic director, and you this is now, I believe, your third athletic directorship where you've hired coaches and always prepared for whatever moment. But with Nick Saban, it just seemed different because nobody wanted to believe he was ever going to step down. Could you consciously think about that day, knowing that it would happen someday, and take us through the preparation for getting ready to immediately go looking for a new coach?
Yeah, I remember, Paul, the day I was hired back 7 years ago, and I got asked every interview I did, what's it feel like to be the guy that's going to hire Nick Saban's replacement? And that was a very easy answer. It was like kick the can down the road as far as we could. But you know, at the same time, too, one of the worst things that I could do as the AD is to not be prepared when that time came. Hopefully it wouldn't come anytime in the near future, and it didn't 7 years later. But so we obviously had prepared And you do your very best to think about every detail and thought at the same time, too, staying very focused on supporting Coach Saban, supporting the football program every day that he was coaching. And, you know, one of the things I've said to a few people in our department over the years is I said, I think the last day that he's the head football coach at the University of Alabama, he'll put a full day in. And I want to tell you, he did. He was interviewing coaches that morning, and we were talking about different things within the program. And so with that, we did our very best to try to be prepared when that time came from. We had a detailed plan of how we would handle our young men on our team, how we would handle our staff, how we would handle external communications with the parents, with the media across the board, and then how we would go about trying to find his replacement. And in reality, when we first started even talking about it, we didn't have the transfer portal, we didn't have NIL. And all of those things added to the pressures and the dynamics of what's taking place. And so that's why it was so important to be able to say, let's do this in a concise period of time without a lot of outside distractions. And when Coach talked to the team, I was sitting in the back or standing in the back of the room. And when he said he was retiring, which he and I had been talking about that, I went up and talked to the team, and I just said, you got to give me 72 hours. And hopefully, in my eyes at the time, that was the worst case scenario. But hoping we could get done sooner than that. But I felt that was a reasonable amount of time to ask, the guys on our team. And so that's what we did. And to their credit, they stayed and honored that, for the most part. And even during that time, I did talk to a few of the guys on the team after the team meeting, and then after I talked to the leadership team as well, and those guys on the leadership team provided great support and leadership during that process too, which was so helpful.
Talking to Greg Byrne, and Greg, everybody thinks they know something, and obviously none of us know anything. You're right there. But was there a point at some point during the season, after the championship game, before the Rose Bowl, after the Rose Bowl, where you started to think maybe this is more likely than less likely, maybe it's trending in this direction?
No, I would say, you know, Coach, as everybody knows, he's so focused, right? And he's as focused an individual as I've ever worked with, and I've been around coaches my entire life. So he didn't even allow that to be part of the conversation until he felt it was at a point where he could even have the conversation. So I'm assuming that he and Miss Terry talked about it before he and I talked about it, understandably. But he stayed focused on what the task was at hand. But at the same time too, I said this publicly, he didn't surprise me because he had been communicating with me, which I truly appreciate, and helped us be in the best position that we could be when that time came.
There are some people that wondered, and he certainly allowed that wonderment to occur, that he was maybe undecided even before he went in to the team meeting. Did you know before that he was definitely stepping down?
I felt he was going to step down going into the meeting, but hoping that he wouldn't until I actually heard it. I didn't want him to truly believe it, right? I've said this before, most programs haven't had one iconic coach. Alabama's had two. And it's amazing, you know, to be able to be, I never met Coach Bryant, obviously, but to have the success that Coach Saban had and the sustained success that he had, his ability to stay focused on the task at hand and allowing him to take those things one at a time is truly remarkable. And so I think, really, as he wrestled with that decision, until the words came out of his mouth, I don't know if anybody was quite sure about it. So it was a very difficult decision for him, understandably. I'm glad it was. But we also, at the same time, too, and I told him this before, I said, Coach, we don't ever want you to retire, but he also deserves the right to retire when he wants to. But again, I say that every time. I sure as heck hope you don't.
So the moment passed and everyone's in a state of shock, and while everyone is breaking into whatever programming there is to break into, you have to figure out the means of getting a new coach. Can you take us through that moment from that moment on?
Yeah, so as soon as I got done talking to the team, I actually headed out of town, and I tried to make some calls. As I flew out of Birmingham instead of Tuscaloosa, and as I got myself to Birmingham, I made some calls. I called some of our former players who had played for Coach Saban, some in the past, talked to Joe Namath and many others, and then just to get some feedback, see if they had any thoughts that they'd like to give me. They've got great perspective. I talked to a few key contributors of ours, and I told them, I said, after this point, it's going to be boots to the ground for me, and I'm going to be very, very focused on the task at hand. And so with that, we had been looking and being prepared for a long time, Paul, and the old saying that AD's got a list in his top desk drawer, which I never have had, but what I've had is something that's a fluid list that changes in time, and we had vetted probably a couple dozen coaches over the years that we thought, okay, could they make sense? Some made a lot more sense than others. We had criteria of what we were looking for. The reality is none of them fit it. Right, there was not a perfect candidate that checked every single box, except for probably Nick Saban. That would have been it. And unfortunately, he didn't interview for the job this time. Tongue in cheek when I say that. But we began that process of talking to a few candidates. And I know one of the things you hear out there is, well, you had your first choice, second choice. And I said the press conference, you have plan A, plan B, plan C, but that's not necessarily the order you want that you have as far as who you want. I think it's irresponsible on my part if I walk into an interview and already say, well, I think this is my third choice, but I'm going to talk to him anyways. I want to be open-minded. I want to be thoughtful in the conversation that's going to take place. And so in a lot of ways, you have multiple names on a list, but in some ways it's bullet pointed. It's not even numbered. It's not even lettered. And that was the approach I took on this one. And as you can imagine, we had great interest in the job. It's a premier job. But one of the things I was looking for was I wanted somebody, because you would hear the line that they'd say, who wants to replace Nick Saban? And that's an easy narrative to create. I wanted it to be a different thought process, one who would embrace the challenge, who would embrace and honor Coach Saban and Miss Terry as well. And I tell you what, when Regina, my wife and I were in a hotel room with them in Seattle, and immediately I could tell Coach DeBoer was very comfortable in his skin and who he is as a coach, and looked at this as a challenge and as an opportunity and not as a detriment. And I really believe thoroughly that type of attitude was going to be something that would be give us the best opportunity to have success based off of what had happened with our program over the last 17 years under coach's leadership. And feel very confident, and even watching Coach DeBoer over the last few days and working with him closely. And we've been here, I think last night was the earliest night I've been home. I think I got home at 9:30 last night, but we have been here, and his staff is starting to show up, putting the staff together, working on the roster, meeting with kids. And then on top of that, another wrinkle I'll give, Paul, is part of our plan that we had put together is I met with about 7 staff members from our football staff. Okay, people like Jeff Allen, Denzel, Chappie, Ashley Kimball, Ellis Ponder. And I asked them, I said, we are going to proactively divide up the roster, our current roster, and we need to get you boots on the ground, actively engage with them on a daily basis, not waiting for them to call you, but going to them. And all of those people deserve a ton of credit to talk with them. I did a video that went out to all the players' parents so they could hear from me directly. I obviously couldn't pick up the phone and call all of them. We had plans in place of things we were going to try to do to manage the situation where we were with today's environment. And that's what we've been doing. That's what we're continuing to do right now.
Speaking, and we're speaking to Greg Byrne. Greg, speaking of right now, and you're in the middle of all this, we're at a great distance, but couple of players today have gone to the portal. I know Coach Saban and you and everyone is trying to keep this thing together. Can you address the concerns about losing key players at a time like this?
Yeah, you absolutely don't like it. You don't like it for the team. And I'll tell you this, Paul, you've been around. You've been in a lot of places. Alabama is such a special place. The investment that we make in our young men and young women across the board for our sports and what we do from an academic support, medical support, mental health, nutrition, across the board is as good as any place in the country. And we've had young men and young women transfer in here from very prominent universities and say, my gosh, I had no idea how good I was going to get treated at Alabama compared to where I came from. And we have young men and young women who have transferred out of here who have called back and said, I didn't know how well I had it at Alabama. And so we have been, we don't want that. We understand why young men and young women at times explore their options. And we try to be very transparent and honest with them during that time. That's the best thing that we can do. But we say it with all the good intentions and the truth that we think this is the best place in the country for a student athlete to come to school and compete at the highest levels and everything that they do. So it's part of it. It's reality. NIL is part of it. You know, we have been try to be progressive with our NIL approach. It's reality. I'm wearing my Yay Alabama pullover right now, which we've had almost 1,000 new members just since we announced Coach DeBoer. We have to continue to get people to sign up and be a part of that because it's a reality of the world we're facing. And we, you know, Coach Saban did such a great job of continuing to adapt to what the realities of the world are. We're going to continue to do the same thing. So, if a young man goes into the transfer portal, we try to be very transparent with them and talk with them through that and be strategic with them. And at the same time too, we certainly won't fault somebody if they are interested in it, but we also are very confident. We think this is the best place in the country by far for anybody to go to school.
Greg, finally, we all saw Coach Saban on Saturday with Miss Terry, and I know that had to be reassuring to Coach DeBoer, especially because he recruited all these players at this critical moment. What exactly is Nick Saban's role moving forward?
He is he has an office down the street at Bryant-Denny. He is going to be an advisor for us. He's been awesome. He and I talked during the coaching search. I mean, somebody asked me, was he involved? I was like, man, I'm not very smart. Many people know that. But I'm smart enough to know when you have a chance to have Nick Saban involved with talking about coaching and football and decision making and leadership, shame on me if I don't take advantage of that. And so he and I talked this morning. He's been very helpful trying to talk to the young men that he's recruited here and again say we're in a really good spot going forward. He'll continue to be here and be part of our program, and we're very happy for that. And I'll tell you, I'll give Coach DeBoer a ton of credit. He's embraced that, as he should, and that's a great approach to take.
Before you go, I want to give a shout-out to your wife, Regina, who I know played a big role. I've always been a big fan of hers, as you know, and I think that was very smart to take her along.
Well, thank you, Paul. We've been together on this journey. We'll be married 30 years in May, and she has a great read of people. People love her. And I knew when we sat down, her and Nicole DeBoer hit it off right off the bat. And they've been actually out looking at houses and all those different things. Nicole's back in Seattle now. But I appreciate it. She's got a great read on people. Maybe when I retire, well, I'll tell you this. Dan Mullen would not have been the head football coach at Mississippi State if it wasn't for Regina Byrne. I'll give the rest of the story down the road, but that's the God's honest truth.
Well, make her available for the next interview. We want to get the scoop.
Sounds good.
Greg, thank you. I know it's been a very hectic week. We appreciate your time.
Yes, sir. Roll Tide.
Got it. Greg Byrne joining us on as we hit the 1 week anniversary of Coach Saban's retirement in about an hour. A very enlightening conversation there, and we will take a short break.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Back, and Adina is first up with reaction to what Greg Byrne said. Hello, Adina.
Hey, it's good to hear your voice again.
Thank you.
I thought that was an exceptional interview with him. And once I heard the news about Nick, I just kind of, I didn't listen anymore. I tried to keep social media down because it's just been kind of a grieving, as I would think any kind of a change would be. But, and that was a pretty big one. But I was thinking about how disappointed, you know, at the Rose Bowl, even though it really was a fun time, and how everybody was fussing about that. And we thought it was bad. We just didn't know what was fixing to happen. And I think that that's such a life lesson. When you've had a little disappointment, is be grateful, because it could always change. And, you know, I'm so grateful that I was at that game, and I was at the last Nick at Noon. And I think the sadness for me is because Nick probably really went through a lot before he made that decision. It probably pained him, you know, and I'm just kind of sad and excited for him that he's got a new chapter in his life.
Adina, thank you very, very much. We appreciate it. We also thank Greg Byrne for joining us.
Thank you for listening to the Best of the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. Watch the Paul Feinbaum Show weekdays from 3 to 7 Eastern on the SEC Network. Plus, you can listen and watch on the ESPN app.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.